In Matthew chapter 6, 24 through 34 from the New American Standard Bible. If you would, as we read the Word of God together, I'm going to read the even-numbered verses, and I'm going to ask the church to read the odd-numbered verses out loud. So I'll begin with verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. That's good. Jump in there. For this reason, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink. There you go. Y'all getting it. Nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. That they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Notice how the lilies of the field grow. Do they not labor, nor do they spin thread for cloth? That was beautiful. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Was I reading off a different version than what y'all were seeing? It took me a while to figure that out. I'm like, man, I don't think the words are... All right, forgive me. You guys did great. Way to jump in there and make the best of it. That's cool. Hey, you know, sometimes just don't work out. Things just don't work out the way you plan. But thank you. Restless, unstrung, flighty, and vexed are all words... All of them are words that are similar in meaning to anxiety or anxious. These are words that can be used to describe a feeling of an inner turmoil that results in a feeling of outward uneasiness. These words can also be used to describe a common response when we think about what the future holds. Now, some of you... You understand, and the reason I read all these different words is because a lot of times what we do is we play word games with ourselves, and so if somebody will say to me, are you feeling anxious, I can look and say, nah, I'm not dealing with anxiety, but I'm all churned up inside, and I could put like five other different words on it, but in that particular application, I can say to somebody else, no, I'm not feeling anxious, but really I am. I'm just not being honest with myself. And that's why I read that list of words, because we can all use different words to describe it, but it's this gnawing, this churning inside of us that creates this uneasiness. And when you think about it, especially when it comes to what the future holds, either on a personal level or in regards to the ones that we love, let's be honest with ourselves this morning. Words like anxious, worry, and apprehensive, as well as the list of the words that I just read to you, are used to motivate us to do many things in our lives. Now, we should be more aware of this struggle now than we were even 2.5 years ago. Commercials are trying to sell us things because they make us feel apprehensive about not having the best whatever it is that they're trying to sell us. So they create this level of apprehension that if you don't have whatever it is, whether it's you need to buy a new Jeep because when something happens in the middle of the night, you better have a car that's not going to break down so that you can safely get to your destination. You see what I'm saying? So it creates this level of apprehension. Politicians use fear and worry to get us to vote for or against someone or something without even knowing the facts about the person or the actual subject matter. And a lot of times, and I want to ask you, how many times over the last 10 years have you actually voted for somebody or you voted for something or you pulled for something and you really didn't even know what was backing it up, but the other person had made you feel so anxious about the fact that if you voted for that person, everything was going to go downhill. You get what I'm saying? Neighbors, friends, and even family will make us feel anxious to manipulate us into certain situations. And so it's so much a part of the thread of how a lot of people interact with us, and yet our Lord, Yeshua, He knows us and understands the power of worry and anxiety in all of our lives. He knows this about us. This upside-down kingdom Pastor Chris was talking about and did such a great job this morning that we're learning to experience, it does not function. Please listen to this. This upside-down kingdom does not function with anxiousness and worry as primary components of citizenship. Father God has something much grander for us to embrace. Now, please hear me when I say this. Because there's a couple of you, there's some of you in here that you're coming from a church, a religious background that's similar to mine, where you are accustomed to the religious leaders using the scripture, but creating this anxiousness inside of you so that you can be manipulated towards spiritual, quote unquote, spiritual pursuits. Now, please understand, that's not what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to create something. We're not trying to make people do anything. If you're here this morning, well, I don't know who you came with, so I can't speak for you came here of your own. Somebody might have twisted your arm. I don't know that. But that's not the kind of church family we're trying to be. We want people to respond because they want to, because they're experiencing this forgiveness, this love. They've got all these amazing things going on inside. This is a family where you choose to be involved. Nobody's making you do anything. And so I just want to point out that it's important for us to understand that God understands the power of worry and anxiety in our lives. In verse 25, Jesus says, if you look at the transition, he says, therefore, or some of your versions say, for this very reason. And I want you to stop for a second. I want you to think about taking security in the truths that he's talked about up to this point, because God is your master and you are learning to serve him. I really need for you to just hang with me for just a few minutes and think of it this way. And some of you, this may be a totally new concept for you to really consider, because if you've come from a background where it's hellfire and brimstone, and I'm not against the teaching of eternity in any shape, form, or fashion. But at the same time, I want you to consider God, us allowing God to be our master, places us in this beautiful, amazing, wondrous position of his love and care and concern for our lives. And many of us here this morning, it's difficult for us to embrace that, because it's a lot easier to talk about what we do and our works and keeping track than it is grace and mercy and forgiveness. So let me share a glimpse into our parenting approach in the Duggins household. No, Jacqueline, I'm not going to ask for your participation. She can verify or deny after the service. I've always felt like, it's just one of those basic things, but Lori and I were laughing and talking about this. We've kind of always just felt like that as parents, we were supposed to be the parents of our children. I mean, it sounds like a novel concept, but hang with me. It sounds sort of simple, but Lori and I have always believed, and we believe it now more than ever, that there is a natural process of authority and responsibility in the God-given privilege of parenting. We're the parents. They're the children. Guess who's in charge? It ain't them. All right. Sorry, I'm not trying to be offensive. Let's move on. Until they're responsible adults, we're the parents, they're the children. Please hear me when I say this. We're supposed to guide, protect, teach, and train our children. Now, Lori and I, we both came from very dysfunctional backgrounds. And so one of the things that we really bound together on is we're like, God, please help us to break the cycle. We know that we're going to pass things on. I mean, look at me. I'm going to pass things on to my kids. I mean, it's just part of the process. But I'm trying to delineate how much I pass on. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are like, really? Yeah, seriously. And so one of the things that we really bound together on is trying to really believe that we're supposed to guide, protect, teach, and train our children. Each one of our children had differing battles with anxiety, fear, and worry. All three of our kids, Tim Jr., Jacqueline, and Megan. But their personalities were different, and we would attempt to find out the source of their anxiety and help them address it, as well as develop strategies to overcome it. We did different things with each child. Remember the bridge? I knew you were going to bring that up. Anyway, you can ask after the service. And you can ask each of them, and they'll tell you different stories of crazy dad putting them in really scary situations to address anxiety and worry. You're like, Tim, did you really do that? Absolutely. It was developmental. You got to face your fears. It seemed incredibly ominous to them, but not to me. Think about it, because I was a dad. I always saw the situation. Please hear me when I say this. I always saw the situation through different eyes because I knew more about life than they did. I would say something like this to them. Look me in the eyes. If I don't look nervous or scared, then you don't need to be scared. If you see that I'm scared, then you need to be really scared. That's what I would say to all three of the kids at different ages. I would look at them and say, because, you know, there would be different things. Megan went through this period. Well, anyway, I'll just move on. So I would look at each one of them at different times, and I would say, look me in the eyes. I would say, look me in the eyes. Do I look scared? And I would say to them, because they're our children, if I'm not scared, then you don't need to be scared, because there's a lot of things that I understand that you don't. And then I would ask him to take security in the fact that I was their father, that I was older, wiser, and understood more about the world in which they lived. Now, Lori didn't always know that that was true by the things I did with our kids, but by and large. Can we agree on that? By and large. I also loved them deeply, and I wanted the very best for them. So then along with that, I would look at them and I would say, do you trust me? And at that point of anxiety and fear and worry, that wasn't an easy thing for them. They're looking at me like, seriously, you're asking me right now, do I trust you? But I would hang with them and I would stay in their face and I would say, do you trust me as your dad? And then I would just stay there until they looked at me, and there was something about them looking in my eyes and me making them say out loud that they trusted me that was actually therapeutic for them and what they were dealing with. And they would finally look at me and say, yes, Dad, I trust you. Or when they were younger. Words escaped them. It was like head nods. Then I would say, do you know how much I love you? Then trust me. And I would reaffirm to them, and I would reinforce, and I would say, do you know how much I love you? I love you so much, and I know that you're scared right now, but I'm trying to help you grow. I'm trying to help you develop. Dad loves you. I'm right here. I love you. Trust me. Now, the lesson this morning, after all those verses we read, because we're going to go back and we're going to pick out some things, but I've got two really simple things this morning, then we're done. I want to give you two comparisons for our learning and hopefully the rest of our lives pursuing a greater trust in our Lord together. Word number one, worry. Comparison number two, wonder of his care. Well, let's be really honest this morning. The majority of us, if we're going to be really gut-level honest and we're going to lay aside all the church and Christian facade conversations and pull out Bible verses to cover up what's really going on, most of us here this morning really struggle with these two comparisons. And what I want you to see this morning is that worry and being worried, that word is used, if you go back and look at the verses that we just read, that it's multiple times, 5 or 6 times, where the word worried or worry is used. And yet, if you look at what Jesus is saying, he's trying to get us to address the anxiousness of our souls and kind of pan back and consider this Father God, this great God, and his wonderful, wondrous care for us. And he's trying to get us to look at things that would be sort of insignificant or meaningless on a grand scale. Things are going to pop up and be beautiful, and then they're going to be gone. And he's going to say, if you look at the wonder of his care in this minute little situation, what in the world do you think he cares about you? The wonder of his care. And please look at me this morning. This is not something that's going to be easily taken care of by just attending a service. This is on the most personal level. Understand that this is deep inside, that we are all deep in our spirits, tormented by anxiousness and worry, and what we have to learn to do, and it's a process. There's no switch that gets flipped and you get a get out of jail free card and everything changes. We have to learn to focus on the wonder of his care on the most personal level. You know what I see? You know what I hear on a regular basis? It's beautiful when our church family comes together and we intercede and we beg God to move on behalf of somebody else. And God does that, and we feel this incredible affirmation of this collective prayer movement. But isn't it amazing that when you begin to pray privately about the most minute little personal thing that you're really kind of almost embarrassed to tell anybody else that you're praying about it because it's that personal and real to you, and you kind of you're trying to believe in faith and you're trying to trust God, but you're kind of, you know, you got that whole skepticism like, yeah, God, I'm asking you to do this, but I know it's really not that big a deal, it's not important, and we give all these reasons for why we expect God not to answer it because it's so personal, and then he does and he moves, and you know that nobody else on the planet knows but God, and you're just kind of like, did he really do that for me? That's when you begin to get a glimpse of the wonder of his care. Yeah, amen. Come on, follow lead. The children will lead us. Can I get an amen? All right, that's what I'm talking about. I love that. I love that. Seriously, I do. That's awesome. It fires me up. I want to focus our thoughts on the love, care, and protection of this section of verses. The grand plan of the kingdom of heaven decision-making. Take strength and security in God's love for you, his response to your trust in him, and his longing to show himself mighty on your behalf. We talked about some words that are similar to worry and anxiety. So can you hang with me for just a second? As we wrap things up, let me share some words that are the opposite. We talked a couple weeks ago about some strong concepts. Let me give you some words that are the opposite of worrying and being anxious. Calm, cool, collected. You ever notice anybody say those? Oh, that person's calm, cool, collected. You know what that means? They're not like, ah! Just in case some of you need a visual so that you could compare. Thank you very much. I did that for you. Peaceful, tranquil, quiet, comfortable, restful, relaxed, confident, self-controlled. How many times in Scripture does the Scripture proclaim that a person that's living in the Spirit is going to live with self-control and self-discipline? That is the opposite of anxiety and worry. I love you enough. I'm just going to proclaim the truth. You want to get mad at me? I'm just standing behind Jesus again this morning. I'm just a messenger. I didn't write this. I didn't proclaim this. I wasn't there on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm just looking at what Jesus said to us. Craig Rochelle says this. You may want to write this down. I've written it down. Woke up this morning praying this over myself. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. So let me ask you this morning, what's your strongest thought? Worry? Are you blown away by the unknowns or the what-ifs of life? Or is your strongest thought the wonder of His care? Are you blown away by His genuine concern for the details of your life, your life challenges? Philippians 4, 6 through 8 in the ESV. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Since passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, strongest thoughts, the wonder of His care, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these strong things. Remember what I just shared with you about my children? I was asking them to take security in the fact that I was their father and I was older, wiser, and understood more about the world in which they lived. I will say publicly that that's been changing. I don't know that that's always true now, but just throw that out as a disclaimer. I also loved them deeply and I wanted the best for them. I was trying my best to be a different father than what I experienced in my birth father and my stepfather. I knew that I was messed up with myself, but I desperately wanted them to know that I loved them. And I would look at them and ask, "Do you trust me? Do you know how much I love you? Then trust me." I believe that God is asking us today, as He asks men, women, boys, and girls throughout history, God is asking us collectively and individually today, "Do you trust me?" God is asking us, "Do you know how much I love you? Then trust me." We believe the Bible message of good news. We are by nature in need of a Savior. Father God sent His Son on our behalf because of His great love for us. Jesus was born, lived, died, and rose again from the grave to purchase the gift of eternal forgiveness and life. He offers this gift of forgiveness and life when we turn to Him and believe. When we believe and confess it with our mouths, our lives change because our heart and minds are changed by the grace of God's gift. Do you believe? Do we as a family believe? Let's focus strongly. Let's make that thought that we're moving toward the wonder of His care. So, Father, here we are. I confess to you the reality and the pain of proclaiming this truth. I confess all these words that describe how churned up I get and how it affects my faith and my belief. So, Father, I come to you and I'm just so thankful for your love and your mercy, God. Thank you that you are working on us. Thank you that we can respond to you. I'm so thankful for the gifts of repentance and forgiveness. So, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name for myself, for my family, but for my family here. Oh, God, that you would please help us to take steps to not rationalize and justify and make excuses. But God, please help us to take steps individually and help us to take steps collectively. Father, that you would call out laborers into the harvest field, that you would call out those that need to be added to your church, not just here, but all over this region. As the word is being proclaimed and as other churches are studying and worshiping, Father, we pray blessings on them. And we're asking that you would open our eyes, that you would move, that there would be an awakening, a reviving across this whole region, Father, that we would be able to lift up your Son and that your Spirit would be free to work, God, and that we would be able to learn how to walk in the wonder of your care for us. God, we give you honor and glory and praise for your love toward us on the most personal level. And God, I just ask if there's somebody here that they haven't believed that up to this point, that they would be persuaded, that they would believe in you and your Son and what you've done on their behalf, and that their burdens would be lifted this morning at the cross. Father, help us. As we worship, in Jesus' name, amen.